Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There is a very interesting symptom of coronavirus patients that is starting to get some attention among physicians. It is the loss of a sense of smell. Dr. Claire Hopkins is an ear, nose, and throat surgeon in London and president of the British Rhinological Society. Also joining us is Dr. Gary Belloc, who is also an ear, nose, and throat surgeon working out of Cedars-Sinai and UCLA medical centers. Doctors, thank you for joining us. Dr. Hopkins in London, first to you, can you briefly explain to people the loss of smell? Why is that potentially a very important symptom for being infected with this coronavirus?
Last discussion, that one of the biggest problems with the coronavirus infection is the potential for asymptomatic patients to still be out and about spreading infection. The UK and the US are adopting a very similar strategy of encouraging people to social distance, but we have the same problem with people failing to do that. And there are probably quite high rates, particularly in the young people, of infected people with almost no symptoms. And what we need is a better way to identify those people, use targeted testing, and encourage them to self-isolate. We've quite long known that viruses have the ability to damage sense of smell, and the common cold often results in a short-lived period of loss of sense of smell. So it wasn't particularly a surprise when we started to hear that patients with COVID-19 infection also reported loss of sense of smell amongst their other symptoms. But what's been really surprising is the significant increase in the number of young, healthy people with almost no other symptoms presenting to ENT surgeons across the globe in the last few weeks. And there's been a huge spike in this. And we think it's very likely attributed to an asymptomatic COVID-19 infection other than this loss of smell.
So this could be the signal that maybe you have this, where otherwise you wouldn't even know it.
Absolutely. They're not meeting the criteria, certainly in the UK, with a cough or a fever where we'd expect someone to self-isolate. So they're carrying on as normal. They're taking public transport. They're seeing friends and family. But this could be a really good trigger for them to self-isolate and slow down the risk of transmission.
Dr. Belloc in Los Angeles, how is this development impacting your particular practice and the practice of other ENT docs?
I totally agree with what has been said. We are seeing a spike in the number of patients who are complaining of diminished sense of smell without any associated traditional symptoms of congestion, rhinorrhea, a lot of mucus in the nose, or other kinds of associated symptoms. And so the concern is, and I agree with our colleagues in England, that we need to be very careful about people who are presenting with that as an initial symptom. I believe the recommendation from them is to self-quarantine for a period of 7 days after you notice a diminution in the sense of smell to see which way this is going to go for you as a person who has just sustained that one symptom, diminished smell, but has nothing else to go with it.
And we continue our discussion with Drs. Claire Hopkins in London, Dr. Gary Belloc in Los Angeles, both ear, nose, and throat specialists. Dr. Hopkins, what risks does this a patient presenting with a loss of smell and now perhaps suspected of harboring the coronavirus, what risks does that pose to physicians?
Well, we've seen that the rate of infection in ENT surgeons is particularly high. Patients coming to ENT with loss of sense of smell where they haven't been aware it might be linked may not be using the appropriate personal protective equipment. The other problem is that the virus replicates in the nose and throat. So any examination, particularly if it triggers a cough or a sneeze, exposes a physician to very high rates. In the UK at the moment, we have two ENT surgeons in critical condition in ITU. And so we're hoping for good news about them soon. So it is a particular risk to ENT surgeons.
Dr. Belloc, thoughts on that, that people could be coming in not knowing what they're carrying? And you trigger that with just cold and flu and allergy season, too. What are you doing with your practice?
Well, we're trying to be obviously careful about isolating urgent and emergency calls versus routine calls. And we think that obviously routine calls can be deferred. And we're trying to just address urgent and emergent calls and address those issues appropriately. But I do agree with what's been said. There have been reports coming out of China, as well as Iran and Italy, of ear, nose, and throat doctors being so close in proximity to the nose and throat, unable to examine a patient, obviously from 6 feet away. You have to be close. And then as a result of that, very close to the area where the virus is harbored in the nose.
But Dr. Hopkins, in London, this can't go on forever, obviously. I mean, there are patients that don't have emergency situations, but still are in need of care of ENT doctors, ophthalmologists. I understand it might be another at-risk area of medical specialty. At what point do things go back to, and I hate to use the word, I'll put it in quotes, normal?
I think when we have reliable ways to test patients, at the moment, some of the tests aren't adequately sensitive to exclude infection. At the moment, as in the States, we have suspended all non-emergent sinus, nose, outpatient and operative procedures until we can be absolutely reassured that we're not putting ourselves and then our subsequent patients at risk.
Is it just smell or is it taste, too? Because, you know, we can all think about having a bad cold or a flu and then just the food doesn't taste good to you anymore. And you're like, oh, I can't wait to get through this.
Well, it's really all our sense of smell, but we describe it as taste. Our sense of taste is very basic. It's only really salty, sweet, sour, and bitter. And all that sense of flavor actually comes from our sense of smell. So you lose both together.
Since we have both of you doctors, one in London, one in L.A., on the air with us, if either one of you have questions for the other, by all means, Dr. Belloc, do you have any questions for Dr. Hopkins or the other way around?
Should we be recommending that patients with diminished or absent sense of smell self-quarantine themselves for a period of 7 days?
Well, that's my feeling. I'm obviously not a public health specialist, and I would love the opportunity to discuss these findings with those that make healthcare policy. But it seems a really simple way to target those people we ask to self-isolate. And, you know, even if we inadvertently capture a few people with a common cold in that, I think we've got potential to save lives in doing that.
I guess we're in that
totally
it can't
agree.
Hurt situation, right? Because if we're all being asked to stay home anyways,
exactly.
You start to notice that you can't smell things like you used to. Well, a week isn't a huge thing. We can make it through the week. We're going to be at this for a few weeks as it is.
Yeah, very much.
Absolutely.
I mean, now, of course, the medical systems are very different, obviously, in the UK than they are here in the States. And I'm wondering, so this question is really for Dr. Belloc more than it is for Dr. Hopkins. What impact financially does this have on medical doctors, your profession?
It's going to have a huge impact, obviously, with the closure of routine medical services and the subsequent laying off of allied medical personnel. The concern is obviously people losing their employees in their office or having to lay those people off, hospitals doing various reassessments as to the need for personnel. So I think it's going to have a tremendous amount of disruption and redistribution as we continue to deal with this and recuperate and recover from it.
Dr. Hopkins, based on what you know, maybe this is just kind of a best guess scenario right now, but where does the lack of smell rank, quote unquote, in the symptoms that at least we know about, right? Because most people get fever, and then there's the dry cough, and then there's a shortage of breath, and it's few that have headaches or a sore throat, percentage-wise from what we know. Where does the smell come in, or do we not have the numbers yet?
The best estimates seem to be about 2 out of 3 patients. Now, obviously, the most severely ill, the severity of their respiratory problems puts loss of sense of smell right at the bottom of the pile, and they're probably not reporting it. But certainly in the milder cases, it seems to be a very common symptom and often appears before the other symptoms do. So again, it gives you an early opportunity to capture these patients.
This question is for both doctors. We'll start with Dr. Belloc and then with his London colleague. Has anything in either one of your medical training prepared you for something quite like this? Dr. Belloc first.
Absolutely not. Obviously, we've been very careful about infectious processes in the operating room and in the office and how we handle and deal with things where we have a pretty good idea that we are dealing with something that is infectious and potentially communicable. But in this particular case, you know, the big problem is the question mark. We don't know what we're dealing with. And I think that because of the fact that there's this big unknown out there as to who is and who is not at potential risk, that's what makes this whole situation unlike any previous clinical situation.
Dr. Hopkins?
I would say the same. I mean, this is absolutely unprecedented, and I don't think anyone could have prepared us for this. What has given me hope, and again, it was picked up in the last talk, is the absolutely fantastic collaboration between colleagues all around the globe, sharing experiences at a very early stage so that everybody can learn as much as possible from each other's experiences and often from each other's mistakes.
Dr. Claire Hopkins in London, Dr. Gary Belloc in Los Angeles, ear, nose, and throat surgeons.